At this time, we will have our responsive reading. You should find on either side of your bench a copy of the Three Forms of Unity. We will read together this morning, Lord's Day number 17. And in Lord's Day 17, we read a number of questions about the resurrection, about the ascension, about how God fulfilled the work of redemption in the hearts and the minds of His people. So you'll find that on page 28. It consists of questions and answers 45 through 48. I'll read the question and then we'll read it in unison, the answers together. So question 45. What benefits do we receive from the resurrection of Christ? First, by His resurrection, He has overcome death, that He might make us partakers of the righteousness which He has obtained for us by His death. Second, by His power, also now raised up to a new life. Third, the resurrection of Christ is to us a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. What do you understand by the words, He ascended into heaven? That Christ, in the sight of His disciples, was taken up from the earth into heaven and continues there in our behalf until He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. But is not Christ with us, even unto the end of the world, as He has promised? Christ is true man and true God. According to His human nature, He is now not on earth, but according to His Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, He is at no time absent from us. But are not in this way the two natures of Christ separated from one another, if the manhood is not wherever the Godhead is? Not at all. For since the Godhead is incomprehensible and everywhere present, it must follow that the same is not limited with the human nature He assumed, and yet remains personally united to it. So last week we observed the Christian holiday or holy day that we call Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ, really 52 Sundays a year. But especially we mark that one. And why does it vary from year to year on what date Easter is celebrated? Well, it's set according to the Jewish calendar. You find the first full moon of the new year, and then you measure the so many until the next one, and that gives you the Holy Week. And that's why one year it'll be in the end of March, the next year the middle of April, and why you'll see that variation is because it's not our calendar that sets when Passover would be observed and so on. And so it is, really the first question answer there, 45, I think sum up what, when we say that we believe in the resurrection of Christ, what are we saying? Well, we're saying that we believe that Christ overcame His death and really the power of death by His resurrection. And of course, when he died on the cross, right? When all things were completed, He said, "It is finished." And He said, "I thirst." And then He said, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." His body died. Did God cease to exist at that moment? Of course not. Did His human body really die? Surely. But just like when we die, we don't stop existing, right? Our spirit returns to God, but our body is put in the grave. Well, it's in the same case. When Jesus died, His body really truly died. It was, holes in His hands, spear in His side, wrapped put in the tomb where it remained for parts of 3 days, right? Well, he continues to exist. But when we speak now of his resurrection, we're saying when his body came back to life again, body and soul reunited. Well, the only way that could happen is if the power of death had been broken. What was the power of death, you say? Well, when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, they said, on the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. You shall spiritually die. Well, that power of death. Where there's sin, there's death. Well, when Jesus overcame sin, he overcame the power that sin had in applying death. If you want to think of it in terms of the, and I've just seen this illustration, the talons of a bird of prey, right? They dig in when they capture its prey. Well, that's what death was, holding us tight in its grip with its lawful authority. Well, when Christ overcame death, that power of the grave ceased. It had no more. And so we heard the witness of Jesus, right? I am the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. And I have what? Remember that verse from Revelation chapter 1? And I have the keys of death and hell, of death and Hades. And so we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. He overcame death that he might make us partakers of the righteousness which he obtained by his death. The first benefit of his resurrection is the securing of our salvation, that we might have the hope of resurrection. Second, that by his power, we are also now raised up to a new life. The grace of God impacts a life, transforms a heart. It's a real change. Our priorities, our passions, our desires are conformed to Christ's. We are raised to a new life. And then thirdly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Depending when Christ returns, we will grow old or we will pass from this life. Our bodies will be placed in a coffin and buried in a cemetery one day. But that's not the end. Because Christ died and rose again, his resurrection is a witness to us that we too will rise again. That bodies and souls will be reunited. Now just read John chapter 5 sometime today. The trumpet will sound and all everywhere will rise up. Not sure how that's going to work. But it's a key element, a key tenet of the Word of God, that in the new heavens and the new earth, all things will be supplied and will be provided for us as God's people. And his resurrection is tied to the redemptive events that follow. He spends 40 days with his disciples. After those 40 days, he ascends to the Father, where he continues on our behalf. 9 days after that, which we'll celebrate here in a month or so, we receive the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit, which he pours out in a way it hadn't been poured out before, upon the church, upon each of God's people. And that same Spirit continues his work in our hearts and lives even today.